Panjabihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotarashita Sri Srimad Jai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Thakur Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. What's the number? 30. Oh yeah, there we go. Next page. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the third canto, chapter 21, the conversation between Manu and Kardama, texts 35 and 36. Text 35. Ata samprastite shukle. Ata samprastite shukle. So that means, ata, then, sampratishte shukle, when the Lord had gone. Shukle, what is? Sanskrit people here, what does shukle mean? Shuk. After. Shukle means after. After. Sampratishte shukle. Okay. So after the Lord had gone, Kardamo Bhagavan Rishi. So Kardamo Muni Bhagavan, the greatly powerful Rishi. Kardamo Bhagavan Rishi. So after the Lord left, Kardamo Muni. Astesma Bindusarasi. So Astesma stayed, Bindusarasi, on the bank of Lake Bindu Sarovara. So after the Lord left, the great sage Kardama Muni, Astesma Bindu Sarasi. Bindu Sarasi. Sarasi. Okay. Sarasi means lake. Thank you. Okay. Bindu Lake. Astesma Bindu Sarasi. Then the last line, Tam Kalam Pratipalayan. Tam, that Kalam, time, Pratipalayan, awaiting. So he was waiting for the time that the Lord had told him about, which was, anybody paying attention to the story? is going to be bringing, yeah, Svayambhuvamana is going to be bringing the daughter. And he did say how much time. Anyone catch that little detail? The Lord did tell him how many days. I think day after tomorrow. Who got that? All right. Thank you. Day after tomorrow. So he's just waiting. And what's the word for waiting? Pratipalayan, awaiting. Just awaiting that time. Ata samprastite shukle. Kardamo Bhagavan Rishi. Astesma Bindu Sarasi. Tam kalam pratipalayan. Go ahead. Ata samprastite shukle. Kardamo Bhagavan Rishi. Aste sma bindu sarasi. Tam kalam pratipalayan. Sma bindu sarasi. Kardamo Bhagavan Rishi. Aste sma bindu sarasi. Tam kalam pratipalayan. Anybody else? Ata samprashtite shukle. Kardamo Bhagavan Rishi. Aste sma bindu sarasi. Tam kalam pratipalayam. Okay, so the translation, we've already done the word by word. Then, after the departure of the Lord, the worshipful sage, Kardama, stayed on the bank of Bindusarovara, awaiting the time of which the Lord had spoken. And that first line, Atha Samprashtite Shukle, Atha, then, Samprashtite Shukle, when the Lord had gone. I was just thinking how after Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, what it was like for the devotees in Vrindavan, like he used to be right here. Each, you know, his footprints are there. We were just reading about when they got all those omens, and then they found out Krishna went out herding the cows without Balaram, and we're seeing all these deadly omens. And then he went down by the Kaliya Lake, and so everyone was following his footprints to find where is Krishna. And there was so much respect for Krishna's footprints, you could, the question was brought up, how could they follow his footprints when he's being followed by all of these cows and other friends? But whoever saw Krishna's footprint wouldn't step on it, because everybody wanted to just look at his footprints, and so his footprints were clearly visible. Wherever Krishna's footprints were, and now he's gone to Mathura, we don't know. He says he's coming back, but every moment seems so long. And there's that time, like, right after he leaves, and it's still really fresh. And like when we read about Prabhupada, when right after he leaves, and it was just like, yeah, he used to be there. He just wrote this letter. He just stepped on this. And they have these things in Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan where someone gave him a massage with the oil, and he lay down, and there's some of the oil on the towel, and they're like, I'm going to keep this forever. These little things, and they're so fresh and new. But then, yeah, then time goes on, the footprints start to fade. Maybe some pure devotees can see those footprints in Vrindavan. And so Kardama, he's heard the Lord had said, you're going to see, Swayambhuva Manu is going to bring his daughter here day after tomorrow. So Kardamom is just waiting. And that's a lot of what we're doing too. There's so many stories in the Bhagavatam where Krishna says, all right, you're going to get these things, just wait. And so we're also waiting. But waiting doesn't just mean you're just sitting there. We need, Rupa Goswami talks about the balance of enthusiasm and patience. If we have only patience, we're just waiting. Okay, it's coming. It's not that you're just waiting. Yes, Krishna is going to give us all of these things. Like we could go through just about any verse. The Shikshastikam, Cheto, Darpanam, Arjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Shriya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, Vidyavadhu Jivanam. All these things are coming our way. The heart becoming purified. But they're promised to us. Krishna says, just wait, it's going to come, be patient. But we have to keep chanting, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritasvadhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So be patient, it's all coming. We have to stay in the game. We have to combine patience with enthusiasm. One devotee who joined back in 1967 was with Prabhupada, Hapsaduta. He said when he heard from Prabhupada and he understood what Prabhupada was saying, he felt like we're already liberated. We're going back to Krishna. Our life is perfect now. We don't have anything to worry about. We're just waiting until our time. But in the meantime, let's try to do something to serve Prabhupada. Let's try to bring a few other people with us. So he had that mentality of, yeah, we're already there. We're already liberated. But, okay, now while we're waiting, let's do a little bit to help others. So, patient, and let's see. And Krishna is dependable. I got this little quotation here from the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 24. These are the characteristics of Krishna further described. And in that section, there's a list of things, excellent dresser, always the enjoyer. It's like 6-7 different things. And among them is reliable. Anybody remember that section? What's that? Yeah. Yeah, back in the old days, devotees would study Nectar of Devotion and Krishna book. There was that devotee who you could just say like 3 or 4 words from a sentence from Krishna book, and he would say, that's on page 225, and then he would complete the sentence and he knew exactly where it was. That's the devotee who wrote the index for the Nectar of Devotion. He was so absorbed in it. And that super elaborate 140-page index. And if you want to look up anything in the Nectar of Devotion, it's there in the index. You could find it. Akshobhya. Akshobhya, and then there are other devotees that also got into it like that. So in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 24, so the thing about that list of further characteristics of Krishna is it says that these are also seen in great souls, jiva souls. They have these tendencies. Always being the enjoyer, they enjoy every situation. Expert dressing, reliable. Okay, so any person who is reliable in all circumstances is called dependable. In this connection, Rupa Goswami says that even the demons were relying upon the dependability of Krishna because they were confident that Krishna would never attack them without due cause. Therefore, with faith and confidence, they used to live with their doors wide open. And the demigods, although afraid of the demons, were confident of the protection of Krishna. Therefore, even in the midst of danger, they were engaged in sportive activities. Persons who had never undergone the reformatory ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas were confident that Krishna would accept only faith and devotion. And so they were engaged in Krishna consciousness and were freed from all anxieties. In other words, all kinds of men, from the demigods down to the uncultured, can rely on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. So that's Rupa Goswami describing how Krishna is dependable. So Kardama Muni, all of this nice exchange between him and the Lord, and then the last verse about he left on the pathway leading to Vaikuntha, and he listens to the hymns forming the basis of the Samaveda, which were vibrated by the flapping wings of Garuda. So we got this whole beautiful scene of the Lord visiting Kardama, saying, everything that you wanted, it's coming. I'm pleased with your prayers. I'm pleased with your attitude. You have nothing to worry about day after tomorrow. So he's just waiting. And I was thinking, like, when you order something, like when you order a house to be built, you got the plans, and then they say, yeah, it's going to be here in 2 months or whatever. And meanwhile, you look up the company that you ordered it from to understand more about the company. How good are these people? And you find out, yeah, they've got a good reputation. You got nothing else to do. So while we're waiting, we look up Krishna. He's promised all of these things. Our heart is going to become cleansed. Cheto darpana marjanam, bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. All the problems, the forest, how does that, davagni nirvapanam? It's like a forest fire. Our whole life is just burning down. But this is going to put out the fire. You got nothing to worry about. We still have problems. Things are still going on. But eventually, we are going to find all of these things to be true because Krishna is dependable. Even the demons could depend on him. He's not going to attack without due cause. Demigods were confident of his protection. And even the uncultured people were confident. How is that worded? They were confident that Krishna would accept only faith and devotion. And so they were engaged in Krishna consciousness and were freed from all anxieties. In other words, all kinds of men, from the demigods down to the uncultured, can rely on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. And then a couple nights ago, we read about the wives of the Brahmins who were engaged in offering the ceremony, the sacrifices. The cowherd boys came begging for food. The Brahmins didn't even give them a yes or a no. But the wives, when they found out Krishna's hungry, they gave up everything. They ran out to the forest to feed Krishna. And they were not expecting to be able to even come back to their homes. They had fully surrendered everything. And Krishna said, well, thank you for bringing this out. Now I want you to go back home. And they said, well, that's not fair. You said whoever surrenders to you, you're going to take care of them. We want to stay with you. We're ready to live out here in the woods and just camp out for the rest of our lives, just so we could see you. And Krishna answers by saying, let's see if I wrote that down. No, I should have saved that one. Oh yeah, I did. So he told them, no, you should go back to your husbands. And he said, it is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. Your husbands need you. This isn't going to look good for me or for you. And we had a whole discussion like, really? Why is it that he doesn't seem to have a problem with the gopis? But it was brought up in the commentaries that, well, these are wives of Brahmins. Gopis, they're cowherd girls, cowherd families, but Brahmins' wives leaving their husbands, that just doesn't look good in society. And he assured them, you will be welcomed back. But we thought this was really encouraging. Krishna says, by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories, love for me develops. It's not by physical proximity. So that's encouraging for us because that's what we are attempting to do. Just hearing about Krishna, seeing the deity form, meditating upon him, and chanting his names and glories. Not by physical proximity. And yes, you can go, you can look at Krishna. I was thinking like, what if all of a sudden I found myself in Lord Chaitanya's association and I'm looking at him and I'm looking at Nityananda and Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, and that would be really exciting for a while, but I don't speak Bengali. I would just be looking at them and like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're talking about. I really have no idea what they're doing. And even what they're talking about, even if I could understand it, really to understand Krishna, we need to hear about Krishna from people who love Krishna, who are in touch with Krishna. When Prithu Maharaj, when the Lord appeared before him and said, I'm really pleased with how you dealt with this circumstance with Indra. I'm really happy with you. I want to give you a blessing. I want to give you a benediction. Prithu Maharaj asked for, he could have asked for anything, but he asked for millions of ears to be able to hear from all of the devotees who are glorifying you. And in Vishwanath's commentary, he says, millions of ears means he wants to hear from everybody, even the new devotees, the devotees in the future, the devotees in the past, because these devotees are carrying Krishna in their heart, and that's what really gives us access to Krishna, is the love within their heart. The love is manifest through their words, which flow like a river. He says, an unprecedented river. So it's like fresh and new things coming out from the devotees' mouths expressing their love. And that's what will give me actual connection with you. He's right there looking at the Lord face to face. The Lord's asking, what do you want? And he says, this is what I want. I want to be with you, but this is how to be with you, is hearing from the devotees. Find someone who loves Krishna and hear from them, their words, the love that they have in their heart comes through in their words. And let's see, after that is the verse about the lotus heart carries the saffron particles from the dust of the Krishna's lotus feet. Lotus flower has these saffron particles on it. The words of the pure devotee carry those particles from the lotus flower into our heart. Pravishta karna randrena granam cha tat saroruham. This is Maharaj Parikshit says, Well, he's kind of checking in with Shukadev Goswami in the second canto, saying, yeah, I really, he's encouraging him. I like what I'm hearing. I like where this is going. Krishna enters into the ears, enters through the ears, and sits on the heart of the devotee, and from there starts cleaning things. So this is our system. Let's see. So the Brahmin's wives, in our discussion the other night about how did the wives of the Brahmins achieve so much love for Krishna, and how much more do they need? They'd given up everything. They ran to feed Krishna and Balaram, despite all of the restraints put on them by their husbands, their parents, their family. Krishna said, no, you need to develop more. But where did that start from? From the first place. And when they do come back, their husbands recognize their mistake. And here's what they say. The husbands say, these women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice-born classes, nor have they lived as brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. So this is a recurring theme in Bhagavatam. All of the rituals, these are all really good things, but without bhakti, they don't give the result. And so the husbands are asking, how did our wives get this? Where does it come from? And in the commentaries, it says that, so where did these ladies get this from? How did they fall in love with Krishna? And it said that simply by hearing about him. And who did they hear from? It said the flower ladies, the ladies who sell fruits and produce. They met with Krishna, they saw him, and going around selling their products door to door, these ladies heard about Krishna from them. They heard from someone who loved Krishna. That's what had the effect. All of these other things are good. Undergoing purificatory rites, living as a brahmachari in the ashram of the spiritual master, executing austerities, speculating on the nature of the self, following the formalities of cleanliness, engaging in pious rituals. All of those things are good, but the real seed of bhakti lata bij is carried by someone who has love for Krishna, and it could be someone very simple as just someone who sells flowers. Growing flowers, probably can't even read. And there's a story of someone, I'm probably going to get a few of the details wrong, but you get the basic idea. I believe he was a professor of Sanskrit, and he went to Bhaktisiddhanta and said, I want to learn from you. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, well, you are a scholar. I think you should go to this person here and study from him. And so he went there, went to that temple, he asked for that name, and they found that person. The person said, I think there's some mistake. I'm just the gardener. I take care of the plants here and clean outside of the temple. I don't know anything about Sanskrit. And so the professor said, well, I don't know, he sent me here. I'll just work with you for some time. So he worked with him, and he heard from that devotee, and he saw that devotee's mentality, and he ended up staying with him for quite some time, and he realized, yeah, this is what I needed. I knew all of the Sanskrit, but I needed to be with this person. This person has the right mentality. I can learn from him. There's another story of someone like that coming to Bhaktisiddhanta who had a question. Bhaktisiddhanta said, well, go help out in the kitchen. And so he went in the kitchen. The devotee there put him on cleaning some pots, and he spent several hours there. And then later on, Bhaktisiddhanta saw him and asked, so your question? He said, well, while I was working on the pots, the answer came to me. So, yeah, we're hearing, we don't want to neglect hearing and hearing from qualified people, but also the mood as exemplified by the wives of the Brahmins. So their husbands go on saying, indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. So for them also, they're hearing from cowherd boys. That's what did it. They went through all of the rituals, purificatory processes, but some simple cowherd boys came and set them straight, and they realized what they were lacking in. So this is all on the theme of waiting. Krishna told these women, wait, it's not time for you to come and live in the forest with me. Go back, take care of your husbands, take care of your duties. So we are just waiting, knowing the fruits of our practice will come to us as described in so many of the books. So now we'll go on to the next verse. I get two verses. I'm trying to squeeze as much as I can out of this because there's only three more sentences to go. Text 36. Swayambhuva Manu, with his wife, mounted his chariot, which was decorated with golden ornaments. Placing his daughter on it with them, he began traveling all over the earth. Purport. The Emperor Manu, as the great ruler of the world, could have engaged an agent to find a suitable husband for his daughter, but because he loved her just as a father should, he himself left his state on a golden chariot with only his wife to find her a suitable husband. Let's see. So, the verse again. Swayambhuva Manu, with his wife, mounted his chariot, which was decorated with golden ornaments. Placing his daughter on it with them, he began traveling all over the earth. So the king's going with his wife and his daughter. Two girls and the king. Usually when a king goes anywhere, they have the whole military going with them. But he's just going with these two women. The simple procession. I was also thinking of in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Maharishi Parikshit, when he noticed the symptoms of Kali Yuga happening, he got on his chariot. All right, I'm going to go find out where the problem is. I believe he took an army with him on that one. But when he finds the personality of Kali, it's just him and Kali, one-on-one. So just like Krishna taking things in his own hand, we all know the story of Arjunacharya with his Bhagavad Gita writing, and he came to the verse, of Ananyas Chintayantomam Yejana Pariyupashate Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. For one who is always thinking of me without any deviation and entirely depending on me, to that person, I personally bring him whatever he needs, he or she, and whatever they have, I protect. And the word aham is in there. So Arjunacharya, he saw that word and he thought, no, it's not Krishna personally. How could he do that? How could he personally take care of each of his devotees? It must really mean by some other agency. He makes arrangements for those things. He doesn't personally bring them. And he scratched out the word aham. And so we all know the story. Does anyone not know the story? You don't? Oh, okay. He scratched it out and then he went off to do his noon duties in the river. And while he was gone, these two boys came to him bringing a lot of bags and buckets and pots full of food, gave them to his wife, and his wife said, what's going on? Who are you? And he said, oh, well, we always bring food to your husband. And the wife said, okay. And then she noticed as they left, you've got this big X on your back, a big cut on your back. And she said, yeah. He said, yes, I better hurry. He did that to me. And if he sees me, he's going to do it again. And so the wife was like, really? That's really odd. And so when Arjunacharya comes home, the wife is in an angry mood. I'm like, what are you doing? These nice boys are bringing you food every day, and you've cut his back. And he said, what are you talking about? And so when he got the details, he realized what had been done, and he went back and wrote the verse down as it was. This is a story Prabhupada tells, a few incidents, to affirm that Krishna actually does aham. When he says aham, I personally do bring the things needed to these devotees who are ananyas chintayantomam, who are always thinking of me. Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana paryupashyate desham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Vahami means to bring, is that right? He carries, yeah. Vaham and then aham. Vahami aham. Lord Chaitanya also serving prasad with his own hand to the devotees. So many things Krishna does with his own hand. He could just arrange, you take care of it. Prabhupada serving prasad with his own hand in the early days. And when there was that incident, the four Kumars coming to Vaikuntha, meeting with Jai and Vijay, there was some disruption. Lord Vishnu came running on his own to settle the dispute. Said he came running barefoot. He didn't even put his shoes on. He heard the disruption, immediately wanted to settle the dispute between his devotees and the Brahmins. Okay, so Emperor Manu taking his daughter around the world to find her a suitable husband. And I will open here for any discussion. That's as much as I could squeeze out of these four sentences. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful class. You know, the other day in Bhagavatam, we were talking about envy, you know, and the opposite of envy is appreciation, and how you're mentioning, you know, the devotee purifies the heart by appreciating other devotees, like you said, can be the simplest devotee, the newest devotee to the most exalted devotee, and realizes they all have some connection with Krishna because they're chanting Hare Krishna. And in this way, we open our ears to everyone, and there's always some pearl of nectar that we can grasp. And in this way, our appreciation grows, and our envy becomes less and less, almost to nil. So, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Yeah, good point. I remember Vaisheshika was on a theme for a few years where he kept bringing this up, our appreciation capacity. I think he found that phrase in a purport, and that is like the measure of our bhakti. The more we can appreciate Krishna and appreciate the devotees, or our capacity increases. So yeah, it's a muscle that we want to work and make it stronger. Appreciation, capacity.
Did Prabhupada say X? Because this story originally coming from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Oh, good.
He put a line, Bahami Aham. He did not doubt the whole sloka, Arjunacharya. Mm-hmm. It's just the last word that Krishna doesn't carry personally. So he personally, he doesn't carry personally. Maybe he sent somebody or...
The last two syllables, aham.
Yeah, bahami aham.
Yes.
So he just lined it with the red ink. That's how Krishna and Balaram got that red.
Okay.
And his wife was wondering, like, why you have a red light line on your back. Skin said, "Oh, this is coming from your husband." So that's how he came up with that.
Okay, good. I was hoping I could on hear the, more about this.
On
so
the
that's Vishwanath.
Other verse you mentioned. This is from 10:23. I think 30. Sravanat darshanat dhyanat tat tat bhava anukirtanat. You just mentioned twice about the Brahmana's wives, the conclusion Krishna gave, that's
yes.
The verse, Sravanat Darshanat Dhenat Tattad Bhava Anukirtanat.
33.
Yeah, 10, 23, 33. So in that verse, those who had the intensity, they left the body right there, according to Sanatana Goswami, and they went to another Bhomadham, where they will take birth from the womb of a gopi. They did not take birth. Their mother, Brahmana's wife is her mother. Mother cannot be a gopi dancer with Krishna. So they have to take birth. Where does it say this? In 9th Madhulila, 9th chapter. Srutigan gopiganer anugata haiya brajeshwari sutabhaje brajabhava laiya. Bhajya antar jabe gopi deha paila sei dehe Krishna sange rasakira koila. Those verses Mahaprabhu explained to Venkata Bhatta in the 9th chapter Madhulila. Series of verses, how actually somebody takes birth, how Krishna dances with them, the whole verses. So the Brahmana's wife, they did not have this qualification. They have love for Krishna, but the five things causes rasa. Bibhav, Anubhav, Sthayi Bhav, Sattik Bhav, Sanchari Bhav. This together is rasa. So in order for Krishna to release the rasa from the relationship, the five things has to be together. So they did not have a body that could serve Krishna as a gopi. Because they are wife of Brahmana, they are one of the seven mothers. So they go back home, those who went back, and some left and went to another dham where they took birth from the womb of a gopi mother in Vrindavan.
Hmm.
And then they danced with Krishna or they became that Krishna's lover.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But when you go to Sanatana Goswami Pad, he gives more breakdown that how it happened. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You were talking earlier about the waiting, how Kardama Muni was waiting. I was thinking of about the verse Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamana. I don't know. Susamikshamana means earnestly hoping for. But it's guaranteed. It says the last line, Jiveta Yo Mukti Sade Sabaya Dayabak. So yeah, like you said, we're all waiting like that. If we can go on with that in that mood, always offering obeisance to the Lord and enjoying our going through our past karmas, we'll guaranteed to get the
good reference.
Whatever is happening in my life, it is by His sanction. No opposition means I'm not agreeing to go through this, whatever I have to go through. Krishna sanctioned it.
Punjan.
So if I accuse someone, that means I'm actually accusing Krishna's sanction. It's not easy. We can say it, but it's not easy for everybody to accept it and take it. But if they can, then they will purify, they will be eligible. Because there is a verse in Harinam Chintamani. We perform the activities in the temple or in the society according to devotional principle, nectar of devotion like this. But to do the service has to be under guidance, cannot be on own in order to call pure bhakti. There has to be always authority in bhakti. According to devotional principle, but under guidance. There has to be authority, like temple president or shiksha guru, diksha guru, like this. There has to be some authority. Devotional service is never on my own. That is not accepted. So in Harinam Chintamani, I appreciate that you are emphasizing, appreciating devotees. The verse says, in Madhulila 24, I believe 131, Bhakta deha paile hoy gunera smaran gunakrishta hoya kare nirmala bhajan. In order to do advanced bhajan, advanced devotional service, one has to have a bhakta deha. How does he get body of bhakta? Bhakta dehete thake Krishna sakati, sei deha hoite pai Krishna bhakti. We need spiritual potency in order to serve Krishna in a pleasing way. And that spiritual potency, it is not just chanting. Why there is a namakshara, namaparad, namabhash, then pure name. Why? It could have been like just chanting is enough. No, there is a stages. There has to be pure name. But in order to have a pure name, they have to have a pure consciousness, their approach. And it has to be under an advanced devotee. And then progression means they are actually appreciating other devotees. Because only by the devotee's mercy, that spiritual potency comes in us from Prabhupada's mercy, you know, like, and they see, I mean, you could put a logic, Prabhupada could have delivered the whole world in a moment, can't he? Yeah, but are they ready? No, then it won't work. It has to be both sides. Many people came to Prabhupada, but all did not become those who accepted. Prabhupada said to Vishnujan Swami, when he was appreciating, he said, I'm giving to everybody, but you are accepting it, so you are appreciating, and you'll be benefited. It's very simple, even though it's simple English, but this is like a formula. We have to appreciate, spiritual life, spiritual devotional facility that temple gives or authorities give. Then advancement is very quick.
Okay, that's our homework while we're waiting. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.